I'd kept my mouth shut, if I had left that alone. Yeah, all consequence. He said, listen, you're going to have to try to make sure that you are doing things that will not bring negative consequence. We want to be builders. We don't want to hinder the work. The Bible says something very simple when he talks about harvest time. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, God has made this bountiful blessing available to us, but we're too lazy to choose to go out and do something about it. We chose not to be laborers. Remember, we're all servants. How many of you have ever been in a project or in the midst of something and didn't have enough help? Couldn't find helping hands, couldn't find willing workers. You know, the church used to have a ministry called the willing workers. We don't have that anymore. We have the unwilling workers. They outnumber everybody in the church. Unwilling, uncooperative, undesirable, unattended. I mean, we got an un ministry. We could be seven up, the un. The fact of the matter is, he's telling them that this must be our desire to develop, to demonstrate, and to display Christian ethics, character. It's our desire. I want to be seen. How many of you know people want to be seen? How many ever said that? Oh, he just want to be seen. Well, there's nothing wrong with it in the body of Christ. Why? Because we're lights. He says, what sense does it make to take a light and hide it? Man, if you got it, show it. Let me see what you're working with. Let me hear you testify. Let me hear you give exhortation. Let me hear your encouragements. Let me see you operate. He said it should be our willingness to have disciplined ourselves that we know that what we're doing is not going to hinder anybody from finding the Lord. God Almighty, isn't that wonderful? We've heard that 100 times as we've grown up in the body of Christ. That's why I don't go to church. I done been around church folk. My uncle was a deacon, and shoot, all he ever did when he wasn't at the church, and you have to sit there and go. And you do know they lump all of us together. Every deacon ain't no good. All they heard was you was a deacon, and they've already determined. Why? Because somebody violated good Christian ethics. And it's, you know, all it takes is one bad to make folk go, all y'all bad. You know that old song, one bad apple don't spoil a whole bunch. Well, people think that way. One monkey don't stop no show. Y'all know the list. It goes on and on. All it takes is one bad pastor, and all the pastors ain't no good. One thieving trustee. That's why I don't put my money in church. I told you they steal the money. They heard that 25 years ago and ain't been to church since. That's why I stopped going. My uncle told me in his church they were stealing all the money. Ain't no church ever stole all the money. They might get some of it, Luther, but they don't get all of it. And so we have to do this. He says, we're trying. The old folk used to say in the church, trying to make 100. Because 99 and a half just won't do. We're trying. And notice what he says. He says, we're going to make sure that no one will be hindered. That means what, Pastor? That means in your house, there's no such thing as off duty. Not in the body of Christ, not as servants of God. No, your sons are going to look at you always. They may not necessarily at home call you reverend or minister or doctor or soloist or psalmist, but they know you promised him that I. They know where you go on Sunday when you go. They know what you used to call your reasonable service. You've been leaving home every Wednesday going to choir rehearsal for 35 years, and you still don't know how to treat your family. They you're a fraud. Oh, you stand up there and sing all them songs like they mean something. You don't even speak to me. We're hindering folk. And you know when you're feeling yourself and you ripe with the flavor, you want folks to know I'm the Reverend Doctor, you know, and they say, oh, really? You can't hinder nobody. He said, we're trying so that we don't hinder anybody. That means in your marriage, in your business, in your casual time, you don't get to turn off the light. You're not a New York City cab. You don't get to go off duty. You're always, the Bible says we're ever vigilant, ever abounding, ever making progress, ever. We don't get to quit. And so he says, here's what you're going to have to realize. You can't hinder people from finding the Lord. How many of you ever told on somebody? I'm just going to wait on the rest of y'all. Thank you. Well, how are you going to feel? And I'm not saying this is going to happen in the kingdom, but how would you feel if when people stand before the Lord and the Lord asked them that critical question, did you accept my son as Lord and Savior? And did you follow him? And they say, well, Lord, I was going to, but when I met Vicky Morrell, I changed my mind. Or Lord, when I met Larry Walker, you know, I took him at his invitation, Lord, and finally started going to church with him. And when I saw how he acted outside the church, how would you like them to give your name as the reason why? Lord, I was doing fine in the church till me and Luther got to be friends and I saw how he acted after church. Lord, I was doing all right till Jasmine and I started dating and, you know, as long as she had me in the church, flaunting me in front of the pastor in the church, she was treating me like a king. But Lord, when we went around them church folk, she used to beat me up and take my money and my car and, you know, told me to mind, you know, I'm the queen, you know, that kind of. How would you like them to give your name when they say, that's why I left the church, Lord? Lord, I loved the choir till I met some folk who's in the choir. Lord, I thought all preachers were dynamic till I started hanging. I mean, you don't want to be the one. Thank you. You don't want them to walk into the complaint office and say, Lord, it was all Rudy Beverly's fault. I was doing fine until me and him start going to UVA games together. And Lord, they fumbled the ball a couple of times. And I didn't know who that guy was. All y'all shook up now. You thinking to yourself, I can't go nowhere. Well, that might be your best bet. You don't have no friends now. He said, listen, we don't want to be the one. Now, again, people have, you know, everybody has faults. Let's just go ahead and get that out of our system. Everybody's got faults. And we're going to do things and say things. But what I'm saying is we don't want to be so, reckless and so undisciplined that people say, no, You know, everybody's going to laugh a little bit. Everybody's going to do something. Everybody's got vices, proclivities, shortcomings. That's okay. And people need to remember that forgiveness is God's. And God loves to forgive. That's why we're still breathing. That's why we're still here today. All of us have been forgiven. Amen. Amen. All of us have been forgiven. Yeah. So it's not about that, but what I'm saying is Paul makes it clear to the church that we have to make sure that we're giving it a real go. Watch this now in verse 4. In everything we do, we try to show. Now watch this now. In everything we do. Think about that. Think about your life the last 24 hours. And ask yourself internally, you don't have to fill out a form, but ask yourself, you got a lot of things you've done in 24 hours. Can you meet the compliance standard of verse 4 for the last 24 hours? Don't worry about the whole week. Just in 24 hours, can you stand, if you had to come up and give a testimony, I swear to tell the truth, nothing but truth, I don't help God. Can you stand here and say, in everything I've done, I have tried to show myself a true minister in the last 24 hours? And everything, don't leave nothing out. In the line, in the gas station, in traffic, in your private time, in the booth, in the back, in the corner, in the dog, you know, whatever flips it. Can you say, and see, this is why we have to elevate our development and discipline levels so that we can be better servants. We're never off duty. And God knows, if we're here now to be honest with ourselves, since 10 o'clock yesterday, we have been a lot of places, met a lot of people, done a lot of things. As the old folk used to tell us, by word, thought, and deed, have we met this standard? Then we need to try. We may need to back up off of some. Sometimes, and you know, my wife laughs when I say this, because I'm a critic, but I don't know why. Not the kind of critic that doesn't want to see people do better. I'm a critic because I think people don't try hard enough. So my wife often tells me, you know, because I tell her, every time we go somewhere, you know, Rudy and I say something or see something, I look at her and say, you know, I just need to stay home. Don't go nowhere. And she looks at me and say, yeah, you probably do, you know. Because, I mean, to me, Some of the things I see people do are just foolish. When I see people who go outside with their pajamas on in Walmart, in the middle of the day, you got on pajamas and house shoes, and you didn't even, I mean, okay, you done spent all that money on the weave, comb it. And you know, do like we used to do in the old days, ladies used to do, not men. But, you know, I grew up around ladies back when they had perms and stuff. You know, most ladies have like Jess and Jennifer, you know, sister hair, you know, we didn't have a lot. And so if a lady was going out quickly and didn't have time to put her rollers down, she would put in a ponytail and roll it up. And at least you got brushed it all back and it looked like something. If you got back home, you shake it out, you know, go. But nobody went outside with a nappy head. I don't understand why any woman who cares anything about herself would not go outside before combing her hair. And if you got a whole lot up here and back here, you don't need to wear some things. You shouldn't. And if your man walking with you and he didn't have the courage to say, where you going like that? And then when somebody look at you, you want to go, what you looking at me for? You look crazy. And men are the same way. I don't have no understanding of a man who comes outside with an athletic T-shirt on. That's a T-shirt. It's an undergarment. Of all the clothes you got, that's the only thing you can come outside in, and your britches way down here. Or you didn't take a shower. You know, my wife said, you need to stay home. Because I'll stand in a minute and go, look at this fool. And she said, then they can hear you. Good. They don't understand. Because people see you. You're somebody's child. And before you think I'm talking about mama, I'm talking about God. Everything that was made by God. Why do you let yourself live like that? And why you get upset when people criticize you for it? You ought to say, thank you for helping me. There's a little thing on Facebook. Some of y'all Facebook followers, but you know, I got these friends on Facebook, but they got this little thing called gentleman swag. And they'll have brothers on there with like suits and stuff, and they'll say, you know, what do you think? Yes or no? I like that page, man. You know, I get a few ideas from that page, you know, and I say, okay, I'm gonna try that. But the fact of the matter is, in the last 24 hours, ask yourself, have you done everything to give him glory? Have you done everything? Notice what he says. He said, in everything we do, we try to show that we are true ministers of God. You are a royal priesthood. Ministers. You are disciple makers. Everybody's supposed to be trying to make a disciple. Everybody. I ain't on that committee. I ain't no deacon. I ain't no you're a child of God. Our kind make our kind. He says, and we do everything all the time to make sure that we give credibility to what we say we are. Again, if you don't want to accept the title of minister or deacon or trustee, or no, how about taking just, I'm a child of God. Parents, how many of you have ever gotten on your children about not representing as a good Walker or a good Mitchell or a good Brody? You know what I'm saying? You my child. I don't care what your friends, every parent gonna have to use that language, Jasmine, when you have your children. Trust me, you're gonna have to say, I don't care what your friends' mama let them do. Jasmine Brody is your mom, whatever your married name might be, hyphen if you have to. You know. But I'm telling you, God is watching us, man. So Paul said to the church, in 24 hours, in everything we do. That means when I was in the store, when I was in the kitchen, when I was by myself, I was disciplined. Can I tell you something that I've learned? You won't regret it. You will actually begin to live a better life if you keep this one or two little verses in mind, that God is watching me. There's an expectation upon me. Why? Because God knows what he has empowered you with. God knows what to expect from us because God knows what he's given to us. And what I do know is he never cheats any of us. That's why the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. You know what I've determined? Folk ain't asking no more. The reason why the church is struggling now is because what we're asking for is selfish. It's not about making me a better servant. It's about enlarging my territory, strengthening the cords of my tent. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. When years ago when that prayer of Jabez came out, everybody jumped on it. Bless me indeed. Okay, but what you going to do with the blessing? There was an article some years ago, and Sister Price remembers it, where a pastor stood up one Sunday and gave everybody in the church $100 to see what they would do. It's not going to happen here. Let's just get that straight right now. It's not going to happen here. No, we ain't going to try that. May give everybody $1 and see how that goes. But he gave everybody $100 to see how they would serve. Not be selfish, but how they would serve. How would they take a gift from God, the man of God, and serve? And the statistics, the returns were interesting. I can't remember all of the numbers, but they broke it down. I mean, it was a rather good-sized church. But they got, and they required people to give feedback. They told them, here's the condition. I'm going to give you this $100. But in, I forgot how many days. You remember how many days he gave them? Yeah. And I forgot what the statistics were, but I do know some folk didn't come back. Some folk ain't back yet. They still gone. I know some folk got arrested for DUI, stuff happened. But my point is this, in everything. So again, I've said this to you a long time. I'm trying to teach you a mentality that tells you without question that you never turn the light off. You got to get out of this Sunday-itis mentality of thinking, oh, I'm on my way to church. Ooh, pastor see me. Praise the Lord. You got to do the, because you know, how many of us, and Brother Melvin, you don't have to pan right now, but how many of us can spot a phony? Don't take long. How many of you have ever, seen somebody in their act, and you sitting there going, I know he don't even believe that. you talk with your teeth closed. You know, in the world. I mean, come on, really. Because remember what I told you? If it ain't convincing you, if you're not convinced by now that you are truly a Christian disciple, who you think you fooling? You don't even believe it. That's why you can't be on time. That's why you don't want to serve. You know you full of it. Pick whatever you want to put in there. I'm just telling you now, until we are genuine, and God knows if we're not genuine, I'm not saying give up. I'm saying keep trying. Do better. Remember the sermon? I got to do better. You can't keep walking around here talking, when I think of the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul. No. You need to do more for him. In all of God, God has let you live to be 60, 70, 50, 30, 20, 10. You know, at a certain age, when our children get to a certain age, we really need to start seeing fruit. And I remember when you and your sister came, y'all were young ladies. I mean, you remember, you've been here a long time. How long you been here, you know? How old were you then? Yeah, I thought so. You were young. Look at you now. I am so proud of you. I talk about you everywhere I go. I really do. I mentioned Jasmine and Raven and the little Richburg ladies and Larry, and I was telling one of my preacher friends the other day about Kennedy raising her hand as a hostage, and he said, Doc, y'all need to put that on YouTube. But I mean, I talk about my disciples, the good ones. Some of y'all, I don't never mention y'all to nobody. I pray for y'all. Y'all take up a lot of my time. I miss meals praying for some of y'all. But I'm telling you, it is imperative that we understand we don't have to fake this. There's a discipline to it. And we're all going to benefit from it. You'll have a better sister. You'll have a better husband. You'll have better friends. Your sons will make you proud. You'll be proud of you. You'll have a better pastor. You'll have better ministers. Maybe we're all working hard on this, and we're not criticizing you to kill you, but we're criticizing you to make you better. Take criticism. It's good for you. I mean, remember I told you, you need friends that do three things: challenge you, confront you, and criticize you. And then the last one was the bonus, that will comfort you. But you need critics. You need somebody to say, are you kidding? Honey, don't do that. When you hang up the phone, your wife who heard you in the chair said, now, baby, you shouldn't have said that. You were doing all right until you went, I tell you what. My wife knows, that's my tale. My wife knows, when I say I tell you what, she'll start going. Especially when I'm talking to my kids. When I say, I tell you what, and she goes, and she, that's my giveaway. So I'll give you this now. If you ever around me and you hear me go, I tell you what, then you might ought to say, Pastor, hold on now. Rod Stewart, before we go much further, give me a dime so I can call my mother. You know, the reality for us is this. He called you to this life. You can't walk around talking about he called me out of darkness into the marvelous light and you ain't got no light. Nobody should be dim. Nobody should be any less luminous than anybody else. Ministers should not be more luminous than deacons, trustees, or choir disciples. We should all have the same quality of illumination. Our lights must be consistent. And you got to work on that. I'm telling you, because why? You have an adversary. The devil wants y'all to raise hell, go to hell. He wants all that to come to you. But the God that you serve, the God that loves you, says, I would that you not perish. I don't want you to die like that. How many of you ever wanted something for somebody more than they wanted for themselves? And it's frustrating, especially when you know they could do it. They could easily have attained to that lifestyle. They just didn't try. And you don't feel sorry for people who don't try. You get what you get. So he said, listen, we're ministers. We're going to make sure. Now, watch this now. We are, he says, watch, I love this. He said, we patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. You know what he's saying? Stuff happens to church folk too. Let me tell you something. You stop hanging around all these shouters and prophecies and prophetess who tell you that everything going to go your way. Businesses collapse that are owned by Christians too. Employees act crazy. You know, people who come to work for you and your wife and realize y'all Christians, they ain't going to act so wonderful unless you got Christians, and then they going to fool you too. Sometimes you try to hire all Christians and find out this ain't working either. They steal. They don't show up. They cuss. They do. They disappear. People are people. The human factor exists in all of us. But let me tell you what he says. We patiently get through it. It's going to happen. Your marriage will go along fine for 15, 20 years, and something will happen. A hardship will come. You know, statistically, they say finance has the biggest part to do with most bad marriages. So when the money gets a little tight, you know, your mate's going to start acting a little funny. You know, you had that job where you were making all this money and you got laid off. You know, I listened to the radio the other day. Volvo's going to lay off 730-some-odd people by February. Can you imagine what's happening in those households? They just bought a car. They just bought a house. Kid just went off to college, and the husband came home, and the wife was saying, are you going to be the one? I don't know. Don't ask me. All I know is what I heard, too. But I'm just asking you because you know we done bought this house. I know we bought a house. I live here. Why are you asking? You know, and that's what happens. He's nervous. And so December, well, what we know about Christmas? You think I'm worried about Christmas? Don't ask me about no Christmas woman. We're going to have to figure out what to do if I'm on that list in February. Well, you know the children. I don't care about no children right now. What do you mean you don't care about the children? I knew you didn't want this. Some of them ain't mine anyway. You know that kind of stuff going to come out. And he doesn't mean it. And he's a deacon. Or he's a minister. He's been in the church his whole life. But this guy is about to go through a hardship. So what do you think is going to happen? He's going to have to get through it. And he's probably going to get on his knees and say, Lord, I've been faithful. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to raise your hand. I've been there. When things start happening in my life that I thought were unfair, my first thing to God is, Lord, I've been faithful. And then I start giving him names of folk who ain't faithful. Yeah, I start, you know, I'm like, Lord, you know, I've been going to church every Sunday, paying my tithe, but Lord, I know six folk got their email address, their children ain't no good, their wife cheating on them, they don't pay their, you know, I'd be giving God some information to take the heat off me. Y'all ain't ever done that? Lord, they lying now. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, this is the lesson. See, this is why the church is full of hypocrisy, because we should have learned this stuff. So when it happens, we think it not strange. Didn't the Bible verse tell us that? He said, brother James, go to James. He said, think it not strange. See, we missed that part because we were so busy going, enlarge my territory. Strengthen the cords of my tent. Open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. Keep me, Lord. Hallelujah. You missed the real lesson. He said, listen, we're going to be patient. He said, this comes to all of us. Remember when they had Paul up there testifying? Pay attention. Paul didn't testify about all of it. He said, I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've been arrested. And they're sitting there going. He said, I had a thorn that God wouldn't even take from me. And I thought I was a real somebody with God. And if you read that text carefully, he's almost saying, Lord, I've been faithful. Read the text carefully when you get to that letter. Paul is almost getting ready to say, now, wait a minute, God. I came over to your side. I could have stayed where I was. He said, but I tell you what, this one thing I do. See, that's reality Christian discipleship life. We got to stop painting the church like it's some country club and people come and serve us with a little towel over their arm and call us ma'am or sir. Because some of us, when they call us that, we look around, who are you talking to? Oh, me. Oh, might I help you, sir? Oh, yeah, yes. Listen to me. Pay attention to the learning. This is life lesson. That's right. You know, let me tell you something. It is proven that over 70% of the church vacates their commitment when they get in trouble because they didn't read that lesson. They didn't read that verse. That verse is life changing. That's why I stayed. Trust me, I'm telling you, I was going to lead the church too. When things got hard. But if it wasn't for my wife, because sometimes she's a better preacher than I am. Y'all don't have to pay her. Don't give her no, don't put on a payroll. Don't call her Reverend Dr. Nothing. But sometimes it's just that she was stronger than I was in a moment and said one thing. She didn't have a little speech. I don't like speeches. When you're in trouble, you don't need no speech. Am I right? When you're going through hell, you don't need nobody to give you no speech. All you need is just say what you're going to say, so I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But she encouraged me. Sometimes it was all she said was, we going to be all right. She could have went back home with her mama, I reckon. But she said, no, we going to be all right. Sometimes she just looked at me and said, that's saying something when you go. And I looked back and went, you know, what I'm telling you is, you're going to have to endure. And people are watching you. Pastor Reed, one of my best friends, said to me when we were young, you know, my wife and again, when I left the military, I left unprepared, but I trusted God. And when the bills were getting tight and things, he said, Doc, you got to realize this. Your children are watching you. And how you handle this, they're going to make their relationship with God. Everybody gets mad when they think somebody doing you wrong. People who love you will go and fight for you. You know, if your husband or your sons or daughters felt that somebody was doing you bad, they'd come up and go, y'all ain't gonna do my mama like that. How many of you have ever stood up for somebody like that? You know, you heard they were treating your nephew wrong. You say, I tell you what, I'll go down there. And you go down there and say, excuse me, I'm Luther Palmer. This is my nephew Larry. And they'd be looking at you like, sir, you can't come. Yeah, no, that's my people's. You know what we say in the community, blood is thicker than water. You know, because I'm Jasmine's friend. She said, pass on my job. I said, well, let me tell you, let me write a letter to somebody. I mean, we stand up. for people who are worth standing up for. Amen. Now, if you're a bum, we go, well, that you brought it on yourself. You know, that's how many of y'all know that's the way to keep them having to worry about something with some people. You just look and say, well, you brought that on yourself. That means I ain't going to do nothing. Listen to me well. He said, listen, stuff's going to happen to us. And you're going to need to understand this lesson in advance. This is why, again, the church is so flaky, because people don't want to learn. And so when stuff happens, first thing they do, rather than trust God, they blame God. Like I said, they do like I did. Lord, I've been faithful. I paid my tithe, finally. They don't tell God about all the years they stole from him. All the Sundays they didn't show up. But see, we can tell God how faithful we've been, because why? We want a favor now. How many of y'all been around people like that? But you can tell when they finna ask you for a favor. I have to explain. Finna is a southern word for preparation to do. You can tell when they're about to ask you a favor, because they start reminding you how faithful they've been and how we've been boys all these years. I get phone calls like that all the time, Deacon Walker, from friends. I ain't heard from in years. And if you ain't on my caller ID, if your name don't come up, you ain't talked to me in a long time. I've had the same phone number since 1999. And if you call me and you in, I put your name with you. So my phone ringing is just a number, it's going to voicemail. Especially if it's an area code from where I live. I'm like, who calling me from home that I don't know? When I see 904, ain't no name. Well, let's see how this goes. And then they go, boop, boop. And they left a message. Hey, Mike, what's up? This your cousin. Okay. Give me a holler, man. Ain't nothing real deep, but you know, that means it's going to get deep. You know, you got to know how to screen. No, no, no. And man, we go way back, man. Okay, here we go. I remember that time I helped you out. Now, that was in 1971. You gave me 10 cents for lunch. I mean, so what I'm telling you is, learn the lessons. Watch what he says. He says, we endure it. What does endure mean? We get through. Trouble. Everybody's going. Jesus says, in this life, you are going to have troubles, but let not your heart be troubled. Be encouraged. To him that overcometh, I got something for you. Don't drown in a spoonful of water. Don't choke on a crumb. Hang in there. Fight. Fight. Why? Because you have been equipped to fight. You can't say greater is he that is in me. Jesus knew how to fight. Jesus knew how to endure. He hung in there. He didn't quit. And you can't walk around talking about greater is he that is in me and quit. You ain't got no victories. You ain't won nothing. You ain't engaged in nothing. You just hiding from everything. Cry too easy. Crying is good. That's why he gave you a tear duct. Don't cry all the time. For God's sake. He said, we endure. What does that mean? It's going to last. Trouble ain't microwavable. It's cook stove. It takes time. And some of us have been in trouble a long time. He said, hardships. What are hardships? Hardships often come because there's something hard happening. Hardships, calamities. Anybody ever been disappointed? Yeah. Anybody ever been lied on, let down, left out, disregard? Yeah, there's a line of things. He said, listen, we who know better, do better. It's a discipline. You were never told by God that nothing would ever happen to you. Man born of a woman ain't got but a few days and they full of what? Trouble. We can all say right along through here, amen. He said, listen, we're going to have to watch this now. He said, we've been beaten, put in jail, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, Work. Oh, that, sorry. I start testifying. I'm sorry. He says, we have endured sleepless nights. Paul, you know me. Gone without food. Not many of us have that to worry about. No. But watch this now. Listen to what he says. We have proved ourselves by our purity. You know what he's saying? We maintained our integrity before the Lord. We did not resort to the devil's trickery. We didn't let the devil go up there and slap them. They didn't, you know, go in and break in and steal. Go shoot up the joint. No. We maintained our purity. And you know what? Our children saw us. Our spouses, our cousins, our friends, even the stranger. I never will forget years ago, you know, I did not even pay any attention, but there was a gentleman that lived across the street from us. You remember that guy that nobody didn't talk to many people lived in that house right there, had the boat and all that? We thought he had money and all that. He did. His wife left him, had them two very pretty girls. They were young, you know, kept to themselves. I never thought that man paid me any attention. Never. Well, he belonged to Good Shepherd eventually. I was down at the Servant Leader Summit some years ago, and he walked up to me and said, "You impressed me as a neighbor." And I looked and I thought, I said, "Where you live?" But fine, tell him, he said, I lived across from you in Berkeley Manor. He said, "I watched you with your wife and your children." He said, "I watched you keep your cars clean, cut your grass." He said, "And I always thought to myself, if I could be like that guy." I never thought that guy cared anything about me. People watch. He said, "I knew you were a preacher." He said, "But I, you know," he said, "I always wanted to go to your church, but I never did." He said, "I wasn't in the Lord then like I am now." So see, I kind of met the criteria of I didn't hinder him. See, because sometimes, let me tell you what we do, and you don't have to say nothing to me because I know we do it. You may not do it, but some of us act one way around folk we know in the Lord and act another way around folk that ain't in the Lord and think it don't matter. So we get around our, you know, hanging out buddies and think we can do anything we want because they don't go to church. Amen. But they may be looking for the light that'll draw them. You could be that light that draws that moth to the flame. So you can't get around them think because they drink and you want to drink with them that, okay, when I get around them, I can let my hair down. That's why you're bald-headed now. You kept letting your hair down and now it's gone. No, I'm just kidding. You can't do it. You've got to always be the light. You've got to be able to stand in a room full of drunks and not take a drink. You've got to stand around folk who's shooting dice, playing bid whist for money, gambling, and just say, "No, man, I, you know, y'all go ahead, y'all enjoy yourself. You know, learn the tricks so when you play, you can win." But I mean, don't think that people who are not in the body don't deserve to see the best. Don't do it. And if you can't do it, don't go. Stay home and have your own parties. I have learned to enjoy my own company. That way, when I'm around other people, I enjoy it the more. People get mad at me because I won't come to their invitations. You know, no, I don't want. I mean, I'd rather not make you have to adjust because I'm not going to adjust. You know, I invited him, he didn't even come. Well, because I kind of know how parties go. And I'd rather we keep a good understanding. Amen. I said this some time ago. Some folk got mad and a couple, three of them left. But I didn't come here to be nobody's buddy. I didn't come here to make friends. I came to be the pastor. And in that arena, then I expect you would treat me as a friend or whatever. But I didn't come here to hang out with you. I came here to lead you. And you can't lead folk if you're hanging out with them like that. It's okay to be cordial. But you hear what I'm saying? There's a worldly saying, I can't use it in the church, but it tells you about mixing company like that, you know. But I'm telling you now, he says, we have been through some things. We maintained our purity. Now, again, let's go back to that question we asked from verse 3. In the last 24 hours, have you done everything to maintain ministerial integrity? Look what he says now. He says, so in everything, excuse me, verse 4, I'm sorry. In everything we do, we try to show. Have you done that? So you tie it all together. We have proven ourselves because we've done everything. And some of it is sacrificial. Let me tell you how to really improve the quality of your life. Stop being selfish and be more sacrificial. Give up some stuff. Instead of saying, well, you know, I worked hard for it. I'm enjoying my life. No. Some things require sacrifice. Well, I would go. No, I don't think I'll go. I'll let the fellas go ahead without me this time. I got to get up and go to church in the morning. I got to unlock the doors. I'm supposed to be driving the van. You can't sit up all night drinking shots and hanging out and then drive the church van. Alcohol stains. You hear what I'm saying? You may be good enough to drive your car, but you ain't got no business driving God's people. You take that risk on yourself. That's sacrifice. But don't be selfish and toot it up all night and then go, well, let me go and get this van. I'll be all right. They ain't going to pull the van over. Well, they ain't pull it over. You turned it over. Sacrifice. You got to say no. When you know you're required to serve, you're supposed to be ushering tomorrow. You can't hang out all night with the girls and come in here and run home and jump out of your club clothes and put on your usher uniform and you standing up the door smelling like a smoke factory and then people walk by you and you got, what you looking at me for? You know why. You didn't maintain your purity. There'll be plenty of time for that kind of foolishness. And in the body of Christ, see, we get mad. Pastor, all up in my Kool-Aid. Drink water. You see, nobody's saying amen. Ain't nobody looking at me going, amen now. That's what we got to do. And you won't be miserable all the time because what you'll discover, there are a few more people like you. Remember when he went to him, he said, Lord, I found out I'm not the only one that has not bowed the knee. I thought I was all by myself in this thing. God said, well, I got a whole lot more folk that's just like you. You haven't met them yet. You can't go, I'm going to live my life. Listen, people die young. Some folks live to get old. I'm going to sow my wild oats. You ain't no horse. You don't need to sow nothing. You need to plant some seed. See, this is how we need to be taught. We don't need no shout house churches. We don't need nobody promising us we're going to be rich. We don't need nobody telling us about everything going to be fine. No, everything ain't going to be fine. Bankruptcy going to come in the body of Christ. Cancer's going to come. Diabetes 1, 2 going to come. Marriage is going to fall apart. Children going to flake out. People going to jail, but we're going to trust God. Now, if you do right by a lot of these things, some of that ain't going to be your problem. Amen. But look, can we go on? I'm almost out of time. Watch what he says. And I love this part. He said, we have proven ourselves by our purity, our understanding. See, that's what I'm trying to teach you. So you can get some understanding. So you can say, you know what, Pastor? Thank you. That lesson really helped me. I got it now. All of us take it personal when things happen. But with understanding, we don't just take it personal, we take it prayerfully. We say, okay, God, if I got to get through this, better yet sometimes, Lord, because I got to get through this. I've told you before, I have had things happen in my life that I would rather had not happened. But when it happened, I turned to God. I said, well, Lord, since this has happened now, and I don't mind telling you just how I tell you, you're going to have to help me. And sometimes you just have to stand still until your help comes. I have waited patiently on God in many a calamity. And I've had people say, well, what you going to do? You ain't doing nothing. I'm waiting. I ain't going to panic. Just have to wait until God says, go left, go right. And sometimes he said, don't move. See, we don't want, again, this is what discipline requires. Wait on God. Lord, instruct me. Because if I do what I'm thinking to do right now, God, this ain't going to go well. My wife and kids going to have to come see me behind bars. Because if I go in there like I feel right now, and that's just reality. And can I tell you something? You are not surprising God with your honesty when you speak your frustrations and anger. He know that's how you feel. So tell him, you know, Lord, if I go in that room right now with these folk, it's going to be, and God ain't going, ooh, I never thought you'd talk. He know that's how you feel. But he's also ministering to you in your patience. Yes. Sometimes you just need to step back, distance yourself until another time. And let people say, oh, you walked away, you scared. Yeah, I walked away to live. I walked away so that you could walk away. You know, again, don't think that you're surprising God with your honesty. He said, we've learned how to get understanding. You know what, you know, they stood before the Lord and said, what meaneth these things? God ain't never got no problem. You saying, Lord, what's going on here? Help me. But you got to wait for understanding. As I said to you earlier, we're going to tie this wisdom piece in because you need wisdom to go with your discipline. How many of you can relate to a moment in your time when you knew or you remember now in reflection that wisdom would have been more prudent? Or if you had known what not to say. Not what to say. Sometimes knowing what not to say is the best thing. Don't let people provoke you. Yeah, get it off your chest. Go on, speak your mind. No, no, no. Because if I do, you do know you can't take it back. Don't ever write a response in anger. Some text, you don't have to answer. Some emails. Some voicemails, some of them, delete them. As soon as it starts making you feel some kind of way, stop reading it and just delete it. I've had people leave me voicemails. I listen to the first three ways. I never miss you. Click, delete. I can tell the way you start out. You ain't got no business talking to me on my phone. Yeah, I've been trying to get into message, delete it. Next message, November, and you listen to that one, and, you know. But text message, if I get a text, and like I said, if I get a text with a number, no name, I don't know how you got my phone number. I rather mention this, delete. I don't know who you are. You don't have to put yourself through it. Step away. Let them call you a punk, sissy. What? Hey, fine. I'm going to maintain my purity with God because that's who I'm going to give an account to. One of us is going to die before the other one. And based on how you eat and live, it'll be you. But the fact of the matter is, that was a joke. But you got to maintain your purity. Watch what he says. He said, we were patient, but we got understanding. Watch this now. He said, understanding. Patience, kindness, our sincere love, and here's the big one, and the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. Didn't God tell you that he would send him to help you? Let him help you. But the Holy Spirit can't help you if you don't even know there's a Holy Spirit. If you don't accept the presence and the voice and the corrective action of the Holy, you can't benefit from that. I have felt, in my own spiritual understanding, I have felt the hand of the Holy Spirit on my shoulder with that squeeze that means don't you move. He slapped me across my mouth many a time, don't you say nothing. I felt God snatch air out of my lungs so I couldn't go where I wanted to go. He's made my feet like lead. Y'all talk back if you want to. The Bible says he's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. God wants my steps to honor him. There have been times when I wanted to go over to that school and let them folk know how I felt about how they treated my child or go to my wife. My wife would tell you, I done offered to come to her job a whole lot of times. And she said, don't you even. Folk done scratched up her car, done things to her, said things to her. And I said, no. Nobody gonna treat my baby like that. She said, honey, don't worry about it. Oh, I ain't worried about it. I got this. She said, I don't need you to do that. The Lord will take care of it. Well, he better hurry up. Ain't nobody ever told God to hurry up. He better do something. He better show me that he working, because I ain't going to leave my baby out there like that. I've done it for a friend. I've had some of my friends. I'll be down there. Where the visitor parking area at, so they don't tow my car. He said, listen, the Holy Spirit will help us. Tie it all in, y'all. You can't live off seven verses. Something wrong with you. I gave you a life of living right here in 1 hour. He said, listen, he says, what we need, let's do this. I'm going to stop. We try, verse 3, we try to live in such a way that no one will be hindered, good, from finding the Lord by the way we act. Okay, we got that. We're going to work better. So no one can find fault with our ministry. We got to do that too. That's why I don't go to Brookdale, because no, we don't want nobody to find fault with our ministry. And our ministry, as I said to you earlier, is your life. As a son, a daughter, a husband, that's your ministry. You don't want anybody to find fault with that. Okay, go on. Watch what he said. He said, in everything we do, 24 hours, I told you to reflect 24 hours. And I told you that a long time ago. And it's biblical principle. You didn't think I missed biblical principle. How did you pick 24 hours, Pastor? Because that's what Jesus says. One day at a time. See, I was teaching you reflective teaching. You didn't realize it, did you? That's all he wants you to do. Jesus says, take this day. That's how he taught us to pray. Give us this day. Every day, 24 hours. Every 24 hours, that's all I work with. I am not concerned about midnight yet. I'm working on this 24 hours I just prayed for. I've got a few more to go, and I got 13 left in this one. When midnight comes, I'm going to wave my flag of victory and say, okay, now, Lord, here's what we got on the agenda for this 24 hours. I've got to be thus and thus, do thus and thus to your glory. And Lord, if it ain't going to give you any glory, slow me down. He says, we got to do everything, everything, everything is everything. Leave nothing undone. He said, we wait patiently in our troubles, our hardship, our calamities of every kind. It's going to happen, children. Something is going to go wrong. Murphy's Law, whoever Murphy is. But he was right. Whatever can go wrong, will go wrong. That's just how it is. Good things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen. You know, it's always something. If it ain't, grandma was right. Can't one thing, it's another. If it ain't this, it's that. It's always something. But he says we're going to get through it. Weeping will endure for the night, but joy. In my AM, I met him. He's always there. He said, daily, I'll load you up with benefits. Why? Because you're going to need them. So he goes on. He watches. I'm going to wrap it up for you. He says, we have gotten through some things. We have been beaten, put in jail, faced mobs, worked to exhaustion. Why do I get stuck there? Endured sleepless nights, gone without food. We have proved ourselves. How? By our purity. What does purity mean? We have disciplined our lives to live as disciple lights. He is not saying he was perfect. He is not saying he didn't make some mistakes, but he tried. Purity. That's why we wash our clothes after we get them dirty. That's why we use bleach on white to maintain purity, to look present before the Lord. In our best. He said, we've done. He said, by purity is cleansing. What is cleansing? We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. All the blood that gives me strength. That's purity. It's by his blood, by his stripes. He says, we have done that. Watch this. He said, our understanding has grown, our patience, our kindness, our sincere love. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. We have faithfully preached the truth. God's power has been working in us. We have righteousness as our weapon, both to attack and to defend. You can live off that. You can become a disciple if you just keep 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And seven verses to study and model your life after. Every day, remember, somebody's watching you. Somebody, they don't have to know your name. How many of you have ever stood across a room or in a restaurant or any place and looked at somebody's face? I know that guy from somewhere. I done seen her somewhere. And then you start paying attention to them because you're trying to get the thing figured out. And then you watch how they walk through the line. You watch how they walk with their children. You watch how they treat it. How many of you ever seen a couple and you know they're in distress? You can tell by the way they're sitting at the table. You can tell when they're riding in the car and the lady on the passenger side looking out the window like this. You know something ain't right because she ain't looked over there not one time. She had the light going, and he's sitting there looking at her, and she won't look. You know something ain't right in that car right there. Or you can see him walking. You know, the man walking like this and the lady walking like this. You know he ain't keeping up for some reason. See, sister girl stepping. You know, or you see children all over the place, and you look at that mother, you can tell, ooh, somebody finna get it. When you see a mother walking with a child and the child's feet ain't touching the floor, they on their way to the back. You're like, oh, that poor little boy. You know, when the kid come back like these days, I knew it. You can see it. We know. We can tell. But he says, what we've done, what we've given our best to do, we made every effort. We're trying. And he says that for us, we understand better now. We're more patient now. But we do know how to get this thing right. People are looking at us. They're reading us. Some of us don't have poker faces. Some of us don't know how to play poker. But they look at you, and when you come to church and you're not smiling, I've been around Azealia Brogdon long enough to kind of know something ain't right. She's going through. She's thinking hard. And you don't have to try to fill in the blank for her. You know the Bible says care one for the other. That means you go and say, are you okay? And they go, yeah, I'm all right. He said, no. Something going on. No, I'm fine. Mm-mm. Okay, wait a minute. Let me tell you what's that. Sometimes you just got to pull it out. But you're being watched. So he said, we're going to make sure that we're doing everything. We got our light on. We're making sure that we're walking in purity. We are examples of what faith means. And faith walk doesn't mean you can't walk slower. It doesn't mean you can't sit there and say, I'm just so tired. That's okay, because that's when people come to give you a little help. That's when they come alongside and minister to you. That's why you got to be honest. How many of you ever had somebody, you knew they were in distress, you tried to reach out to them, and they kept faking you out, and then when it fell apart, you said, why didn't you let me help you? I wasn't trying to be nosy. I was trying to help you. That's what you got to do. Because why? We care one for the other. And the Bible says, now when you've gotten your strength, now you go help you. You know, both of us weak is bad. You know, one of us got to get strong and come back and get, don't forget me down here. I'm down here where nobody can hear me pray. You know, you got to get strong, work out. And so when you develop better discipleship tendencies, then you can start helping us make disciples. But grandma was right. Two wrongs don't make nothing right. And so he says, we've done that. So I've helped you in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's so much more I have here to share. I didn't even get to my other notes yet. But can I just try to help you? This discipline is going to bless you. It's not complicated, is it? It'll bless you. You don't want to spend any time anywhere wasting time because you don't have a lot of time. No man knows the day or the hour. Not just of the Lord's coming, but when you gonna leave. You can be here today and gone today. And look what you've done. You slept your way through another service, or you missed another meeting. You don't want to end up at the Lord's house saying, I wish I had gone to your house before this happened. That's why no Sunday is an off Sunday. No service day is, if you're supposed to sing, sing. You're supposed to usher, usher. Whatever you're supposed to do in the body of Christ, ain't no day off. well, I'm just going to sit back today and let Harmony and Jasmine and Candace do the praise ministry. I ain't going up there today. Why not? This may be the last Sunday you get to do it. You don't know, because you're feeling some kind of way about your husband. He ain't the Lord. Get up there and sing to him. Get the mic and walk toward him. Minister to him. Say, y'all, let's do this song right here. So I can walk over there to my husband and minister. You got to be able to press. It'll help you, to bless you. Father, thank you so much for these who have paid attention in this hour. Thank you, Lord, for, again, those who listen to us all over the world. Thank you, Lord, for those who made it at the later hour. Pray, God, that you'll give them the strength and the wherewithal that they might join us at an earlier hour, that they might grab it all. Lord, there's so much more, and we desire to give it all to your glory. Thank you, God, that you let us live long enough to hear you speak to the church. And God, we pray, all of us together united, pray that you'll build this house. Father, again, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us. Teach us to love one another, because you love us. And because you love us and you don't cheat us, you don't hold back, you give us a love without compromise, then let us give the same love to our spouse, to our children, to our brothers, our sisters, moms and dads. Let us bring our families up together. Even now, Lord, as names and ideas have crossed our minds, let us have the courage to make that phone call, to reach out again and say, you know what? We don't have enough time for this to go any further. Let us join together in the body of Christ. Next Sunday, Lord, let us swing by and pick up a brother or sister that has lost their way. Let us remember, but for the grace of God, our lives would have been so different. But Lord, you saw something in us because you put something in us. Now bring it out of us to your glory, to your honor. For if you be lifted up, you said you draw. God, grow this house. In Jesus' name, amen.